All right, you're on the Arms Room with Glenn.
I'm John.
All right. Mason, how you doing?
Good.
And that's why you don't get any airtime, Mason. Because responses like that.
I'm doing well. Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks. Thank you for being a little more enthusiastic. All right.
I'm just happy to be here.
Did you guys see that crazy fire? Well, John. I know John saw the crazy fire.
Oh, the one that I had to sit in traffic for an hour and a half with to get from your house to New River? Yep. Sure did.
Holy cow. I mean, obviously, you've seen it since then because you drive right by there.
Oh, my God.
Man, it burned a lot.
1,200 acres. It's
all
good,
though. All the way to the I-17.
It's good.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
It started at the 17.
Well, yeah. Was it car related? Did you ever find out?
I have no idea. I don't even care.
I see that a lot of those fires, it seems like, on the side of the road are vehicle related. Someone overheats.
Car related
or trailer chain.
Some turd burglar throws his cigarette butt out into the grass instead of making sure that it lands on the freeway.
Yeah. So.
Just saying.
Not cool.
Yeah.
So,
don't be a douche.
It's actually, things like that are always a good reminder. Like, I was out of town when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So people started texting me, like, oh, man, are you okay? Like, does your family need a place to stay? Like, what's going on? And, oh, crap. You know, what the hell's happening?
Like, no.
So then I text my wife, and I get my typical wife's response. She's like, there's no fire in the pool.
So, it's true.
Yeah. My wife not caring. But it's a good reminder of, like, a good emergency plan. Like, do you have an emergency plan? Could you evacuate your house? I mean, if that fire had been on the other side of the freeway, it might have burned my whole subdivision to the ground.
Probably.
You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't that far away from us. So, one, it's a good reminder to have an emergency plan. Like, if you had to evacuate your house in 15 minutes, could you do it? Could you grab all the necessary components? Do you have a list or, even better, some pre-made kits that at least give you the comforts of home for a few days while you may be hanging out in a freaking high school gym or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And what if I wasn't home when that happened? What if my home had to be evacuated and I couldn't be there? And it was just my wife and my kids and all the other things that I think in my head, oh, I got to grab that, and I couldn't grab. Or even, God forbid, none of us were home. And we just can't go back to our house because, you know, it's on fire or it's surrounded by fire.
Or it's burned completely to the ground.
Or it's burned all the way to the ground. Like, what do you carry with you every day that could enable you to at least live for the next couple of days without being able to go home? You know, you have a little go bag in your kit. Do you have a flash drive with important documents? Are all your things kept in a big old fireproof safe? They can withstand a fire like that.
I have two of them.
Yeah. And it's just something to think about, right? It helps us.
And one of them has one of those shitty little fireboxes inside the big fire, inside the big safe.
I too am paranoid, John. So, yeah. Do you see that crazy dust storm accident in New Mexico? 6 people dead?
No.
Yeah, this dust storm rages across the freeway in New Mexico, causes a huge pileup. I can't remember how many vehicles it was. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Seems about right.
And it was 6 people died, including a small infant, which was really terrible.
That's
and
sad.
The infant and the family were from here.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was freaking crazy. A pile up during blinding dust in New Mexico. 25 vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some photos of it. I mean, that is zero visibility, the length of maybe a freaking semi-truck.
Yeah.
Right? So 25 vehicle pile up, 9-month-old girl and her parents, both from Phoenix, 2 people from El Paso and a California woman. 18 commercial trucks and 7 passenger cars all combined.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, on the I-10. I-10's a dangerous freeway. But you think, again, it reminds us that we have to consider accidents. Like, when crazy stuff like that happens, do you allow for different driving conditions? If you're driving, do you allow for greater visibility? Do you reduce your speed? Do you kind of increase that radar a little bit? Same old shit, right?
Just drive like a pissed off teenage girl all the time.
Lead foot always down. Some of the worst vehicle accidents I've seen on the road have always been during, like, a rainstorm or something.
Oh, God,
like that.
Yes. Absolutely.
People don't adjust their conditions for these emergencies. I mean, this is an emergency. It's a different condition you're not comfortable being in.
Mm-hmm.
That's good reminders we've had. Yeah. Man, we had all kinds of crazy stuff this last week. We taught wilderness first aid. Mason helped us out with that. Of course, Adele was whooping ass up there. I went and hung out at the Boy Scout camp with my son for a couple days.
Nice.
And it's always nice to go up and get a little bit of faith restored in youth. You know, it is. Not that every scout.
What percentage of our youth is in the Boy Scouts?
Less than one.
Not a lot. Oh, way less than one.
The same percentage that serve in the military. Less than one.
Yeah, way less. So, I mean, it's not like everybody there was like super dialed in or anything, but there was a. It's just good to see that people are taking time out. The leaders who are volunteers for the most part, and that the boys who, you know, could be doing something else like playing Xbox or whatever, or living out in the woods for a week, living in a tent and out there learning about all kinds of cool stuff and merit badges and new skills. Mm-hmm. And it's just refreshing.
Yep.
Very refreshing. Man, anything else happened last? What else happened in the news, Mason? Anything great?
Yeah, you're the news guy, bro.
Am I the news guy?
Oh my God, you're so
seriously.
Useless.
We cover this every week.
It's every
bro.
Week.
I don't know. I don't think anything happened
other than the stuff I talked about already. You're
welcome. Yeah, I didn't do. I taught a class on Sunday, and I can't even remember what I did on Saturday. So, I shot some guns.
Millennials. All right. Mm-hmm. Wilderness. Wednesday night steal. Wednesday night steal. Show up Wednesdays. Cowtown Range.
No balls. You won't.
People are talking.
Come out and beat Mason.
That's not hard.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck.
Hey, Mason, did you get that? Did you get that spinner on Wednesday with your 45 rounds? No, I got
Look,
it. In
I'm
15.
John, and I'm super cool. Yeah, that's what you sound like, John.
I know.
So come out to Wednesday night, still beat Mason. He'll be out there. He'll be out there taking all contenders.
Mm-hmm.
All challengers.
Oh boy.
Not all it takes, but...
Just don't shoot carry optic, okay? And then we'll be fine.
Definitely shoot carry optic. If you don't have a pistol to shoot carry optic with, I'll loan you mine.
No.
So you can beat Mason.
That's a good idea.
I have to keep my title of greatest shooter in carry optic.
I may borrow your carry optic
you should.
On Wednesday.
You totally should. Oh, man. Josh came out on last week, and he and I shot through all the stages.
Well, Josh was
and
there
he still
because
beat
he got
you.
Stuck in traffic. Let's be honest about
he
that.
He beat Mason's carry optic with his XDS, tiny little...
Yeah.
9-round magazine or 8-round magazine, something like that.
Uh-huh. You know, I never look at those scores either, by the way.
We
I have
do.
No idea.
I have typed them out, so I have to look at them. Independence Day Action Rifle Match coming up 4th of July.
Yeah, buddy.
Looks like we're on track this year to donate about $1,600 at least to the Phoenix Children's Hospital. And they're super excited about it, just like they were last year. So we'll be buying. I've already got the wish list of toys and books and games and stuff, and it's awesome. Last year, we filled 3 carts. I'm thinking with this, how much money we've got this year, I'm going for 5 carts. I think we could fill 5 carts worth of stuff. Pretty excited about it. So Independence Day Action Rifle Match, there's only a couple of slots left. The match is almost completely full, so make sure that you go on our website, trainingaz.com, and go to the online store and hit that, all right, because it's in just a couple weeks, almost full. So check that out. Did you see that thing with that Florida sheriff?
No.
Oh, man.
Dude, I don't news. I get all of my news here or from my wife. If it's important, my wife tells me about it. If it's something that she doesn't find important, I hear about it from you guys.
Oh, man. So this Florida sheriff, let me pull up the information here. Polk County Sheriff, Sheriff Grady Judge, gives this really, really awesome video. And crap, now I can't. Freaking find it. Oh, okay, I got it. His message is freaking phenomenal. Oh gosh, how do I skip these stupid ads?
You have to wait. YouTube got smart. They started making you wait like 10 to 15 seconds.
Alarms going out across Tampa Bay this evening.
There you go.
Meaning people should have a gun or some type of weapons in case they find themselves in a life or death situation. And it may not be that big a surprise that it's coming from Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd. Fox 13's Ken Suarez is in Lakeland with the deep.
Shut up! I just want to hear what he has to say. Idiots. Stupid news people. No one cares about you. Just lie anyway.
Today's show brought to you by American News Media.
Dang it. Now I won't play.
Who does totally lie about everything?
Here we go. Here we go.
If you're not afraid of a gun, get one. Become proficient. Get a concealed firearms license.
There you go.
And carry it. And if you need to shoot somebody, shoot them a lot.
Judd asked
us to consider. I love it.
Yeah, buddy.
I love it, man. I love when sheriffs come out with stuff like that. It's freaking awesome, man. So there you go. Keep that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, anti-gunners. All right, Redwire gear moment, go.
Oh, crap. Hold on. I got to pull it up.
Oh, man.
Oh, here it is. All right, so this is a subject that's somewhat near and dear to my heart. When you're mounting a rifle, sling to your rifle, mount it as far to the rear and as far forward as possible. For God's sakes, I don't know who started this trend of mounting slings on the end of the receiver and the front of the receiver so that it's like a loop you can hang yourself with, but stop doing it.
Me.
If you look at the sling points on rifles when you buy them, where are they? Where are the sling points on rifles, Glenn?
Usually all the way forward and all the way back.
Holy crap. It's like the people that manufactured these things knew kind of what they were doing. Mount your slings as far forward and as far rear. I don't care what kind of sling it is. Mount it the right way.
Unless it's a single point.
Unless it's a single point, and then mount it to the rear of your receiver and not the end of your buttstock.
So there you go.
That's it.
Or don't, because we're not your parents, and we can't tell you.
Not your real dad.
Yeah, I'm not your real dad.
Remember, although, we're just a bunch of juvenile frat boys.
It's possible. I could be Mason's real dad.
Why are you doing this?
What are you doing, dude?
Dude, that's hilarious.
Is that an Antifa video?
No, dude.
Something
with Tax Soup video.
Genitalia.
Dude, if you're not following Tax Soup, you are missing out on a great time in your life. That and the Arizona Antifa guy. I've been contacting that guy because I want to get him on the show.
No.
So freaking hilarious, man.
God, no.
That would be kind of funny. He'd probably come in dressed up.
I'm going to skip that episode.
He probably would, man. Oh, gosh. All right. All right. So today on today's show, we have Kirk from Mobilize Rescue in the studio with us. How you doing, Kirk?
Good, Glenn. How are you?
Great, man. There's that robot voice.
Is that the radio voice?
That's the right. That is the radio voice. Yes, that was great, man. So you've got this really cool product, and I got to tell people how we kind of got involved with Mobilize Rescue. Was I started following you guys on Instagram,
right?
And I did it because you had these really great medical videos that weren't completely full of shit, right? Because so much of first aid training out there these days is based on clinical medicine, and it's terrible. It's like old and it's outdated and it's terrible. And the videos are terrible and they're not very educational. And you guys are making these great little videos that you're putting up on Instagram. And it's Mobilize with a Z Rescue.
Correct.
So if anyone wants to check it out on Instagram. And it's got these cool videos. And I was like, wow, these guys are doing some good work. And then we started looking at your guys' products, and you released this app that is included in your product, which is also pretty cool. I've never seen this before. I've never seen a first aid kit or a trauma kit, rather, with a screen and a program built into it that's a step-by-step flowing program that allows you to help be reminded of first aid. Because most people's biggest issues is that they go to do first aid, and the class they took was a year ago or 6 months ago, and it was one day or maybe 2 day, or it was 3 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever, and they are going to forget some stuff. And so much of what you guys have, like your very first screen, I'm looking at it right now, is take a deep breath, which is, to us, awesome, because one of the first steps we teach in patient assessment is stop, take a deep breath, check your scene safety, do all this other stuff, right? Make sure you're not hurt, all those other things, and before, you know, go and try to help somebody else. So you guys are really great and in line already kind of with what we teach, and so we like it. And you have a trauma set here that includes the majority of the project or products that we teach with. So it's like awesome to see a real trauma kit. Most trauma kits, you open them up and it's like a whole bunch of 4x4s and tape.
No, absolutely. This is this is modern medical supplies. You know, this is your Z Medical, Cintas medical kit hanging on a wall with a 4x4 and some gauze. And hey, we have 847 pieces, but you can't find any and you don't know what it is. And that's really the big, kind of the big difference with our kit compared to anything else on the market right now, which is we've combined these medical supplies with just-in-time or real-time training to empower a bystander. Anybody who wants to help somebody, we want to give them the ability to do it, not just an Army medic or a trained former medic like I am or someone in the medical field, but anybody, a teacher, secretary, Fred the janitor, anybody who wants to help somebody, we want to give them the best chance to do it and deliver some really good medicine in the process. We're just trying to cover that gap. We're not trying to turn people into super medics, ER physicians. We're just trying to cover that response gap. Something happens, EMS arrives on the scene, and you can hand it off. And there's a lot of things that bystanders can do to do some really life-saving intervention. So that's kind of where this kit lives. I'll give you a little background on the company and where it all came from, if you'd like. And
yeah, go for it.
So, I mean, you guys are, I'm sure, I listen to quite a few of your podcasts, but I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the Hartford Consensus. And 2013, we had the unfortunate Newtown school shooting. And in 2014, the spring, the federal government commissioned a study. It said, hey, why are all these people, 30,000 people in the United States, bleeding to death that don't have to? So these are There are roughly 30,000 people bleed to death that have an amenable injury, could be saved if they had the right equipment and the person there who knew how to use it. So after millions of your tax dollars, they probably came up with what you and I might know sitting here having a couple beers, but they do have some data to back it up, which is nice and validating. So the American College of Surgeons did the study, and there were, you know, reps from the medical community, the FBI, the National Security Council, and all they were trying to answer was, how can we keep people from bleeding to death from all these events? And of course, 30,000, there's not 30,000 terrorist events, but, you know, shootings and stabbings, bleedings, car accidents. And really what they came up with were, we need to distill this down. There's a few big points that we gleaned off it. And this is where our founders kind of got the idea for Mobilize. And really it was, there's three types of responders, three cogs in the wheel for emergency response. And there's immediate bystanders, or bystanders who are at the scene when it happens. There's professional responders, EMS, fire, police, and then there's the trauma professionals who receive those people at the hospitals. Excuse me. And what they found was, with their studies, was the person in place to do the most good for these people who are injured is the bystander at the scene, an uninjured person that experienced that event but wasn't injured. So they said, well, how can we get these people to, you know, to respond? And really, that's where our founders came up with the idea for Mobilize. You're going to equip them with the right equipment to do it. You're going to empower them with the knowledge to do it. And that's going to let them respond to that scene. And, you know, it's the person who, you know, if something happens to me, it's the guy next to me putting on a tourniquet that's going to save my life, or covering a hole in my chest, or opening the airway. That's who's going to save a life. It's not the medic that's coming from 15 minutes away. So that's where Mobilize lives, and we've come up with some really good products. And, yeah, we're glad you're having us on here to share them.
I mean, we refer to what you're talking about here and what we do in training as dirt medicine, right? And the dirt medicine concept is that what we do is done in the dirt. And there's often this disconnect between kind of the clinical side of the house and the dirt medicine side of the house. And obviously, what you're talking about from a professional 15 minutes and on, that's the clinical side, right? And we hope it's as fast as 15 minutes, but that's the clinical side. That's, you know, that they have all the equipment, they have all the machinery, they have all the scanners, they have all the test equipment, they got intravenous capabilities, they can put blood back in, they can do all this cool stuff. But unfortunately, within that first 15 minutes or so, if you're going to die, you're probably going to die. You know, with your history of most of the time you show up and you're like, oh, we could have saved this guy if we were here 10 minutes ago.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But it's not realistic for us to be here 10 minutes ago. We only get here so fast, we can only be called so fast. It's the person, as you said, the person who's there when it happens. And it's kind of what we consider the true first responders, the people who are there when it happens. And it doesn't always have to be, like you mentioned, in a terrorist attack. Or it doesn't always have to be in a vehicle accident. It can be on the playground. It can be in your kitchen. It can be in your backyard. And the ability to grab a kit like this, like what I'm looking at, I've got a hard case similar in size to this with dividers and everything, kind of like this. Obviously without the really badass freaking iPad, in my house that it's like centrally located, grab that thing, respond to all emergencies with it. And that's essentially what this idea is. And what you guys have taken is all these great first aid and trauma supplies, because you do have some basic first aid stuff in here, which is good. And you've added the capability. I mean, really, unless you were, and this isn't like a slight, but unless you were like mentally retarded, you could follow what this screen says.
I'm willing to bet that depending on your level of mental retardation,
you could probably still follow this.
It walked my 10-year-old through CPR. It may not have been the greatest CPR, but it got him to do it.
Sure.
And that's where the difference is. You've got your kit laid out. You know where everything's at. You know how to use it. You train on it constantly. But for most of America, they may say, "Hey, I'm gonna get after it and take a first aid course." And 6 months later, they don't remember anything. Mm-hmm. You know. And that's really the power of this kit, is the training and the just-in-time training, the technology that comes with it, and then it's also the way the app flows and the algorithm itself. So our algorithm is assessment-based. So it isn't everything pops up and you hit a button and it's, you know, like the Red Cross app, you know, and splint a finger. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. This thing diagnoses just exactly what you would do as a paramedic. It starts with, you know, calm yourself down, for one, right? Put on your gloves. If it's wet and sticky and not yours, you don't want to touch it. And then it just starts what I would do as a medic, you know, circulation, then airway, then breathing, you know, and that's the real power of it. If you can read and you can push a button on a tablet and you want to help somebody, this will give you the ability to do it. And that's what makes it so powerful.
I've spent the last week or so since we got off the phone and you guys allowed me access to the app. I've spent the last week or so running through at least two scenarios a day. Usually when I'm taking a dump, because that's normally when I play on my phone. So, but I'm running these
also
scenarios.
When all of the Instagram posts.
Yeah, also, by the way, if you're reading Instagram posts from us, yeah, I was probably pooping.
Glenn was pooping.
but I've tried to fool it. I've tried to get it to back up on itself. I've managed to fool it by creating circumstances that aren't realistic.
Sure.
But other than that, it's rarely does it take. It's taken me to the wrong spot once because I kind of created some unrealistic circumstances, like a 1 in a billion type chance that something like this is going to go wrong. And other than that, it's great. So like just as an example, I reach up, I hit the green start button, put on gloves, and it shows left of screen. And look, directly to left of the screen, there's the gloves, right? I hit next. Is there more than one victim? With a yes or a no. I'll hit no on this one. Is the victim bleeding badly? Because we're big fans of tourniquets around here. I'll say yes. Touch where the victim is bleeding the worst, front and back. So touch something, John. The dick. Of course you would
no,
touch
that's
that.
The butthole.
Oh, that's the butthole. No, you're on the back. Yeah. Okay. Locate quick clot, labeled quick clot B1. So easy for me to look in this case. Instead of rummaging through a kit and going like, where the hell is a quick clot? Here's the section right here, and even shows on the screen everything divided up into sections.
And where it's at.
And look, there's quick clot, and it's labeled B1. So I hit next. Quick clot looks like this for crying
sure
out loud.
Yeah,
and even like, if I put this up next to the screen, it looks exactly the same. Hit next.
Basically,
expose the injuries. Shears are right of the screen. I look to the right of the screen. There's my shears. I hit next. Apply direct pressure with quick clot. Guides me through the process. And then even has a timer. Because with quick clot, of course, I have to hold direct pressure on the quick clot, not with a pressure dressing, but actually on the quick clot into the wound or on the wound. I have to hold it for at least 3 minutes of pressure for quick clot to appropriately cause an arterial clot. I hit touch to start timer, and it starts timing. That was a lot. Touch to start timer. That's a lot to say.
It's amazing. The app is smart. So if it asks you to put on a chest seal, mm-hmm. it's going to remind you to go look at that chest seal. And then if it's weeping, it's going to have you clean it, reapply mm-hmm. it. It may have you burp it, depending on what it's doing. It has a pictogram of what does it look like. So it really is dummy proof. And I wouldn't even say dummy proof. The whole idea is to get it inexperienced proof, right? So you know what quick clot is. A lot of people out there, I don't even know, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. What's quick clot? What's a chest seal? You know, the first time they may have heard of those things. So, and outside of the trauma material and trauma stuff, I like, just because of my background, I also really like the medicine that's involved. So,
Hold on.
In the basics. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Go back. Can you go back?
I can't go back.
You can. There's a back button right there.
Oh, I couldn't see it because of gloves.
Oh, gloves okay. are in the way of the back button.
Okay, I'm good.
So this thing actually tells you how to take your gloves off so that you don't get other people's crud on
yeah.
you. That's
right.
And it's when it, a four-step process of how to effectively take. Because so what I
that's
did.
That's pretty awesome.
What I did as you were talking.
Sorry to interrupt you.
There's a button up top. I just hit EMS arrived. Boom. I hit EMS arrived, and it goes to it. Okay, cool. Now take your gloves off. Then you hit next. Locate the hand wipes. Clean your ass up. And there's a next or victim has new problem. So I hit next, locate pad, left of screen, fill out form to give the press. Dude, this is like one of the best parts of the whole thing because one of the things we always include in all of our training is patient care forms. And we just pound it into our students' heads. Fill out your patient care cards. Fill out your patient care cards. Fill them out. When you're not doing something else, you should be writing down what you saw, what you heard, what you did. Mm-hmm. If you got any kind of vitals, you should be putting that on, like so that when professional EMS shows up, you can hand them this and say, this is everything I know.
From personal experience, if you walk into a house and someone hands you just a card with their name on it, or name and social security number and a list of their medication, it saves you 10 minutes, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. But if you keep going.
So I hit next. Okay, so I fill it out. Wait for professional rescue. There's a victim
summary.
Has new problem, new victim, or I can hit treatment summary.
Right.
If I hit treatment summary, it takes me through a step-by-step process of the victim. So obviously it's been used
It's all
a lot.
The way up, yeah.
That's right. I'm going to go.
That's our demo kit. There.
Okay, June 26th. Here we go. So victim number 133, apply direct pressure with a quick clot. Apply pressure dressing. Take gloves off.
Yeah.
So I can just write that down and hand that to the professional responder.
Sure, they can take a picture of it with their phone and take off.
This is what I did.
Right, right. So it really is the algorithm. The algorithm was designed, everything in it, it's not based on Kirk the fireman who says you should do this, right? Mm-hmm. So the algorithm within it is the American Heart Association protocols for CPR. It'll integrate with a defibrillator. Has a defibrillator arrived? Mm-hmm. Yes. Hook the defibrillator up and follow the directions. It's based on ACEP, American College of Emergency Physicians mm-hmm. Protocols. And then TECC, which is, I'm sure your listeners know, the civilian version of
TCCC.
Yeah, mm-hmm. TCCC. So it's really good medicine, and it's really got a solid foundation. And that the guys that developed the app are paramedics, paramedic instructor, coordinators. A lot of them teach for FEMA at the Department of Homeland Security. We have military corpsman, mm-hmm. Army medic. We have a emergency room physician as part of our advisory board. It's really just a solid app, and I'm going to leave this kit with you for a few days, and feel free to keep trying to punch holes in it.
Yeah.
Let me know if you do, because you'd be the first. So, but I like the basic. I was saying before the more everyday things you're going to see. Right. We're not going to see these big mass. You're not part of that mass casualty shooting, but grandma might have a diabetic problem. There's glucose in there. It'll mm-hmm. help you diagnose that and administer glucose. It'll tell you to give Benadryl for an allergic reaction. If the patient has an EpiPen, it's going to walk you through
how to use it.
How to use the EpiPen.
Yeah, I got to that point. So, I messed around with the allergy part.
Yeah, those are the. So I like that. If you're having a seizure, and it's going to tell you to put them in the recovery position afterwards, so they're not going to choke on their emesis, which mm-hmm. I've seen, so many times. I can't tell you hundreds of times where I've come up to the scene in my professional career and people are just pointing. There's someone on the ground and there's three or four people pointing, and it's turn them over, open an airway, put a hand over the big hole in their chest, And this thing, it really is exciting to be a part of it, because it's, I think it's a game changer for first response and for really just for the whole idea of taking care of ourselves first, not relying on EMS, not relying on fire, but take care of ourselves first. If you can't take care of yourself or aren't willing to, then you really shouldn't be putting the burden on somebody else.
Well, I like that you have stuff in here. Like in our trauma kits, it's pretty much trauma related. And we do have a boo-boo kit in there, but you guys have the boo-boo kit to make it ANSI, OSHA.
Class A compliant, right?
Yeah,
a lot of businesses have to have that.
But you've also got things in here that, like, you've got Benadryl, you've got the glucose pen, you've got little basic a biohazard bag, mm-hmm. Things like that that you don't typically find kind of crossing that barrier between a boo-boo kit and a trauma kit, but would still be useful for a kit like this if you're going to put it into a corporate environment or something like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you're talking about doffing your gloves. It tells you how to do it correctly. If you have a... it'll ask you repeatedly through the algorithm, are there any more victims? Are there any more victims? Mm-hmm. Do you see anybody else? And we don't want you to miss somebody. And it's easy to have tunnel vision, and even that's outside of the shooting, but a car accident. And, someone's ejected in a ditch.
Is there
anybody else? And it's going to keep asking you that. And if it says yes, it's going to have you change your gloves when you get to that next victim mm-hmm. so you don't cross-contaminate. And these guys that wrote the app have really done job one on this thing to make it, I think, as good as it can be at this point.
And everything is labeled and everything is numbered. It would be almost impossible to apply the wrong thing. And you've got a lot of the stuff that matters and a little bit of the stuff that you don't need as much of. But, you got a lot of the trauma good things. And shit, 4 freaking tourniquets in here is awesome.
Sure.
So there's a lot of great products. But, again, I go back to the app because there's such a disconnect with using technology in the field typically to do medicine. And this is really the first product that I've seen that integrates a technology format for helping to go through the process. It's not a book, it's not a checklist. It's an app that actually walks a responder through, which is just incredible, because you could take someone with almost no training and they could use this kit. You could take someone with a lot of training, like take any of us in the room where we have a lot of training, and it gives us the capability where it helps us stay focused.
Absolutely.
This isn't like, oh, I know what I'm doing, but then I get to that spot where we've all hit it, right? When you're helping somebody and you're like, shit, what am I supposed to do? And so we just go back to march, right? We remarch them and everything. But it's like there's maybe a slightly better way to do that. If I lose it for a second on the scene of an accident or with my kids, maybe I'm a little panicky more than I would be helping a stranger. I'm a little more panicky with my own kids, where I can go to the screen and go, help me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I need some help.
A lot of our corporate customers, they'll have emergency response teams, you know, especially the larger manufacturing plants. And these guys, I think a lot of them, you know, they've got good hearts and they want to be a part of this response team, but that's not what they do. They don't do emergency response, and they get their 2 weeks of OSHA first aid every 2 years. And time after time, they'll say, you know what, this will help in case we forget. Mm-hmm. And even if you are trained, I can give you an example. This is a horrible thing that happened, but this is probably, it was 2002. So I'm sitting there eating delicious chicken wings at my house, eating pizza. My wife and I were getting ready to get married, you know. I was living in a little city just outside of Detroit, and my neighbor, two houses over, shot a police officer while I'm sitting there eating. I hear a gunshot. So she went over there. This is a good friend of mine. She went over there to help or to tell him to put his dog away. He had these big dogs, and they always ran around. Someone called. Well, he jumped out of the bushes, shot her. She shot him. So I go out. I see her car there. She's laying there. He's laying there. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I walk up, and I'm just standing there. And I was a medic, an experienced medic, and I'm just standing there. And my wife, she's in the medical field, and I'm telling her to stay back, and she just starts chirping at me. She's like, CPR. Start CPR, you know, and I froze, you know. And it's not because I didn't know what to do, but you don't know when something's going to happen. And if something does and you do forget, this will prompt you to do it, and you're not going to probably have to walk all the way through that algorithm, but it might bump you to, oh yeah, geez, oh, Pete's, you know, or okay, yeah, you know. So so right back to your point, that's exactly how this thing might work for someone who's experienced, or it's laid out so well that I need a tourniquet. It's right there. You're not reaching around and, you know, digging around in a huge bag full of 384 pieces of medical equipment that you can't find. But it really is something. And what we also found, you know, in reference to your technology point, was when you take somebody who's not used to EMS, right, and you ask them to do that, it's a big thing. If someone deploys this kit for, especially for a bleed, it's probably one of their worst days they're having, right? Mm-hmm. We're so used to tech, I think, and this is just my opinion, we're so used to technology and interacting with iPads and phones and things like that, it actually pulls them out of that bad day they're having, and
out of uncomfortable,
and they're interacting with the iPad now, not looking at their friend who has this horrible injury, but they're looking at an iPad. They're interacting with that, and it really makes it even that much more effective.
Something, you know, familiar.
Right. They're not staring at this injured person, but they're at an iPad. They're okay, and it just tells you what to do. You know, are they breathing? Yes or no. It's that simple. And I think that's where, you know, technology is kind of can change things, you know, for us with emergency response and treatment.
Now, this is your biggest kit. You make three.
Correct.
You make this one in a hard case. There's this same one in a soft case. And then you basically make an IFAC.
Right.
So the IFAC does not have, it's got typical IFAC components, no technology involved, but typical IFAC components.
The technology, there's an app for your phone. So each kit, so we say each kit, you get a lifetime license to the app. As there's updates, we push them out. You know, we'll say, hey, hook it to Wi-Fi, and you update it just like any other app. So on your phone, either Android or iOS, you can download the app. That's what our compact kit comes with. And that covers the kind of immediate life-threatening problems, you know, bleeding, you know, it's got CPR, choking for adults, kids, and infants, the use of an AED, rescue breathing for infants and children, unconsciousness, opiate overdoses. It'll prompt you if you have Narcan, you know, that it's such an epidemic. Allergic reaction, same thing. It'll help you walk you through that using an EpiPen or helping someone with their inhaler. So that's what the compact. That's the technology. It doesn't come with a tablet or anything like that. You just download it from the App Store. You'll get a code.
But again, I just pulled it up on my phone. Was kind of playing with it again. That's the thing I've been playing with over the last couple of weeks. That last week has been that app. And again, it doesn't come in the kit. But I pull out the kit and I go, shit, I forgot what I'm supposed to do. I pull out the thing. I pull out my phone. I pull out my iPhone. I pull out whatever, and I start going for it. And I'm using. It's the same exact program.
It's not as comprehensive. Like it won't address. It won't tell you. There's no burn sheet in there. It's not going to tell you to do that.
Yeah, I noticed there's like allergy stuff and all that on the phone. Very basic.
Mm-hmm.
Very basic. Right. Not as much as this program.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's each app, so the phone app is specific to the compact kit, and then the comprehensive app is specific for the comprehensive and the mobile kit.
Okay.
So the comprehensive and the mobile kit, exact same layout, exact same capabilities. Mm-hmm. They're just packaged differently. And by far the comprehensive kit of the two is more popular. I think it's not a Pelican case. It's a made right in Montana. It's a really hard, durable case. You can plug it in and leave it on a trickle charge. I think that's the biggest reason that it's more popular.
Which is a cool thing, is that you have a wall mounting system that comes with this.
Correct.
And then it's just got a port on the back, USB port, so I can just plug in the wall, keep this thing plugged in. That way the tablet's always going to be charged up and ready to go. And you said it'll last for 7 weeks.
It will. So you see in the kit, there's a magnetic post. Mm-hmm. Our comprehensive kit will last 7 weeks just resting on the counter. There's a magnetic post in there that lines up with a little spot on the iPad that puts it into a deep sleep. And so when you open it up, it just says, take a deep breath, push start.
So for 7 weeks of no power, you could have this. So you could either just plug it in every month or so, or you can just leave it plugged in with the wall mounting kit.
Right.
So and that way I could take this thing, it could cruise around in my work truck with me or something like that. It could go to a job site, whatever, maybe where I don't have power, as long as once a month I'm charging it up.
Sure. So we recommend a monthly diagnostic, which really just consists of it's charged up and the contents are still there.
Mm.
So all the kits, we provide little breakaway seals. So when you check it, you'll know if it's been broken.
Mm.
By far our number one customer at this point is the education market.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting these right with AEDs and creating these emergency medical stations. And our kit, it will literally give you something to do for any medical emergency, even if it's don't do anything, just wait, because there isn't really anything you can do. But we're not trying to solve these big problems. We're just trying to get people to keep people alive till EMS gets there. So I had a whole point to that and I lost it.
That's right. We'll
it's the heat. It's the heat. There's no air in here.
No, the air is on. It's just not very cold.
It is hot in here, man. So here's something I want you to talk about, kind of from your real world experience, because it's something we always talk about on the show. We talk about it in our training all the time, which is the need for a higher level of training when you still live in like a metropolitan area. Because so many people out there, they look at a product like this. And it's certainly not the cheapest thing they're ever going to buy in their life. So they look at a product like this and they go, I don't really need that because EMS, because paramedic. And we kind of touched on it earlier, but to kind of take off the mobilized rescue hat for a second and put on, your former, fire paramedic rescue hat, why do people need to get not just more kits, which is important, tools are important, skills are more important than tools, so why do you think it's so important for people to get out there and get training, as well as buy a better than $20 Walmart first aid kit?
I can give you a few reasons. I'll give you a few really good examples. So I've done CPR probably several hundred times, and the only time it's ever worked where we've had someone survive is when a bystander started CPR right away, or we started CPR because someone arrested right in front of us. They were having chest pain, arrested in front of us. We defibrillated them or started CPR immediately. So it's the person in at the scene at the time something happens that's going to make a difference. And so that's one reason. And even if you're in a metropolitan place and your excuse is, well, the fire department's right down here. Well, to get them, fire department's 1 minute away down the street. By the time you place your call to 911. They go through their emergency medical dispatch protocols. There's another minute or roughly, and then they dispatch, and the guys get in the rig. Then they drive down the scene. It might be 5 or 6 minutes. If you have a major bleed, you could have as little as 90 seconds, right? So it's that person in place when something happens that is going to make that difference again. And even in an urban environment, let's say it's a car accident you're worried about. Well, that car accident creates a massive traffic problem, and it's going to delay a response. Or you may be in the city, but, I'm right down the street in a hotel. I'm on the third floor. By the time somebody, calls 911, 911, gets it to the firehouse, the EMS or fire crew gets there, they actually find where I'm at in the building. It's even longer than that, even if they're only a minute away by, from drive time, it's 5, 6, 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. So even in that urban environment, response times can be delayed. And it's that bystander intervention for, you know, that's kind of our company slogan is bystanders save lives, and that's the truth. And that's why it's so important to empower yourself with training of some kind, you know, whether it's through technology, whether it's, you know, in-person training that you keep up with. So that's I think that's why it's so important to have your skills in place.
And training that goes beyond basic first aid, CPR stuff, while that is important, get some trauma training. Doesn't have to be TEC, CT, CCC necessarily, but it's got to be some good trauma training. You know, we happen to know some people who do it, so you should definitely look
right,
that.
Right.
Wait, what? We do that?
But wherever you are, get some really good training and make sure that it's current. Here's an issue we ran into actually teaching. We were teaching a wilderness first aid class this last weekend. And here's an issue that we ran into with a student. Is he was like, well, I got this combat medic DVD from Panteo Productions, if that doesn't give it away enough. You know, and he was saying this and that. And I'm like, yeah, that's like 2003 TCCC.
Yeah, I talked with Adele about some of that, and that guy was a medic, and what did Adele tell me?
He was not a medic.
He
was part of a very prestigious unit way back when.
Yeah, that's what Adele said, and he's like, and then I read about this guy and found out it was like way, way, way in the past.
Super,
and I was like, no freaking wonder this
medicine.
Guy doesn't know anything about it.
And so this guy's like, he's making this DVD that just came out a few years ago, and this guy comes from a unit that's very prestigious in the military, so most people would look to him and go, oh, well, he must know what he's talking about, right? So, which, of course, we know is not always the case. But
it's not true.
So he makes this great video, and I'm sure it was very well made and very well put together, and it seemed like it was good information. And doing this stuff wouldn't necessarily hurt anybody, but the information was so outdated, even just in the last 10, 12 years, that there's better ways to do it now. So it's like, get training, but as you said, stay up with that training. Make sure the training that you're getting is coming from the right sources. Like for us, we always kind of pride ourselves on the fact that a lot of our instructors are still working in the field. And if they're not working in the field, they're still researching in the field. They're still being consulted by those in the field. We are tip of the freaking spear when it comes to what is going on out in the medical world today. We know that this works because one of our consultants did it 6 times last month in Afghanistan, and it worked, you know, compared to the other result or the other technique that wasn't working as well. So it's like we kind of pride ourselves on that. So when we hear people getting outdated information, it's like, dude, just check your sources, man. Check and make sure that the people that are giving you the training really and truly understand. I mean, again, and this isn't a bash on Fire EMS, certainly, but it's like, oh, well, you know, my brother's a fireman and he taught me some stuff. And I see you smiling,
oh, no,
right? Because you know where I'm going with this.
I absolutely do. Yeah, yeah. And look how much medicine's changed. You know, when I went to medic school, if you put a tourniquet on, they're going to lose a limb. I mean,
right.
that's just what they said. You know, write the time and blood on there. You know, create all kinds of weird, goofy things.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, we know that's not true. You know, just the Baghdad study, 118 minutes, no deficit, which... For those of you that don't know, it's a study from the Iraq War, and they looked at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tourniquets, tourniquet applications. People did lose
limbs.
It was
3,600.
Was it 3? Yeah, yeah. So
a freaking lot.
So yeah, there you go. And you know, people lost limbs, but it was secondary to the tourniquet. Mm-hmm. It was because of the injury.
Yeah.
And but when I went to medical school, it was, oh, don't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I run into that daily. You know, we run into that daily. And I think that's kind of why you found us, too. You see the little kind of short little videos we're putting out. And
I was like, these guys.
Yeah, we're in this, you
know what's up.
We're just way out there where it's not so hot, you know. I wouldn't have grown such a luxurious beard if I was known it was going to be so hot in here. But.
It's not that bad.
So definitely double check on your Instagram and look up Mobilize Rescue. It's Mobilize with a Z so that you can see the videos that we're talking about. They've got some really great posts. You've got photos of the kits on there. You've got photos from different people who are using the kits. Awesome videos on there. Little do CPR. You've got to apply a tourniquet one. You've got to put your gloves on one, which I freaking love.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to put on an emergency blanket, you know, to treat for shock. You've got these really great videos on the Instagram account, and sadly, you guys have like 1,000 followers or something.
Well, you know,
you need more boobs, Kirk. That's the you need more boobs, more guns.
I volunteered.
Boobs and guns.
I volunteered, but you know, I was denied.
You in a bikini demonstrating one of these kits might get more followers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're not saying that this replaces training. We have a whole training division, you know, that produces these videos, and you know, if we can help it, we don't want the first time somebody sees a tourniquet to be the time that they need a tourniquet, right. You know? So even if it's just on a video, we have a suite of online training we can offer. And, you know, we offer just more, we call it Mobilize 101, 201, 301, 401. We'll come out and go over kind of familiarization. And, you know, we ran hundreds of teachers through our kits and let them play with the algorithm, let them play, learn to trust it, really. What is this Mobilize kit? What is it not? So we're not saying that this is the end all of training by any means, but it certainly is a great adjunct for training, or if you want to give a large amount of people that you cannot train the ability to help somebody.
Yeah, you're going to do a teacher in-service once a year with a two-hour first aid class, which ain't a lot,
right?
And then you're going to buy these kits. This is going to be a better option than buying a kit that doesn't have any kind of interactive capability, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, we do a lot of corporate training. We travel all over the country and train people, and we're always, one of the first things we do with big companies is we go straight to their ANSI OSHA kits, right? And you can guess what we see.
Their Z Medical white box mounted to the wall.
Right. And they're usually
loaded with aspirin.
It's usually been it's a rape. It's totally, it's like, most of the stuff is gone.
I need some ibuprofen. I'll take this whole box.
It's like, you open up the kits, like half the stuff is gone. The stuff that could expire is expired. You know, like if they're not getting regular inspections on these things, then the stuff just isn't there. So even the little bit of stuff in there that could be useful for trauma is typically gone, right? And they don't really manage that as well. So you've definitely got that issue from a larger company perspective. You also have the issue of, even if they keep up with it, you know, you open up the majority of first aid kits, and of course it's 18 different sizes of Band-Aids, aspirin, 4x4s, and some tape, and you're like, what if I need more than that? And then you have, of course, the, you know, total kind of lack of kit altogether, which we see a lot as well. So in your experience, you know, professionally dealing with fire EMS, your other life now dealing with Mobilize, and I'm sure you go into places where you're like, well, show me what you got right now, because I'm just curious, and you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, right?
Right, right.
When you look at that, what are major shortcomings that you've seen personally in most people's first aid kits? Like, if you were going to say these are the top five things that are just major shortcomings in people's kits, what would they be?
I would say they're all related to bleeding control. You know, tourniquets, quick clot, chest seals, pressure dressings, anything else you can kind of get by without, right? But for major bleeding, these are things that you need, or you have to have. And I think that's the biggest shortcoming. And I'm always shocked. Like I went and met with a casino, I won't say which one, in Las Vegas. And like, oh, this is great timing. We just had run, hide, fight training. I'm like, oh, what do you guys have for bleeding control now? I was like, oh, we don't need that. The fire department's right across the street. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, we get that a lot, man.
There's a total disconnect. And I'm like, you do know that if you do have an active shooter, EMS is not coming in here right away, you know. There's going to be.
You realize you're in like you basically live in a small self-contained city that normal people get lost in on a regular basis.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Like we go to Vegas once a year. We've all gotten turned around in at least one of the casinos.
Or you watch the ambo try to get through traffic on a Friday.
Oh God, forget
it's hilarious.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You're like, good luck, buddies.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just...
So take this incident that we just had with the fire and the closure on the 17.
Oh yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Traffic was literally at 2 miles an hour from Joe Max all the way to Carefree Highway. That's about about 10 miles?
Yeah, about that.
About a 10-mile stretch, all residential. If something happened on that residential street, there was no way a fire truck or an ambulance is getting in there.
Not a chance.
So if you didn't have the stuff to handle it yourself, you're probably going to die.
And that's not a terrorist attack.
Right. No, so
that's
just
not a national level event, like just a fire.
A thing that happens.
And for us, from June to August, we have fires. A lot of them.
Yeah, buddy.
And they shut down a lot of roads, a lot.
Yeah, I've seen the tankers flying a lot more this year than I have in the past.
We had that crazy.
Coming in, I saw quite a bit from the air that was burned, you know. Quite a bit. But that's the biggest shortcoming, I'd say, is the bleeding control, and then the ability to actually use anything that's in their kit. You know, if you ask the average person in that office or in that casino or in that building,
hey,
what's in that?
This.
Yeah, show me what's in that kit, or what would you do for this? They open it up. I don't know.
Call 911.
And then, and actually, kind of interestingly, when we did our beta testing, We had a bunch of professional actors came in, all moulaged up, and we ran a bunch of volunteers through scenarios. We gave them the kit without the iPad or without the tablet and the without the technology, mm-hmm. and then we ran them through that, and then we gave them the kit with it. And we used the score sheets for the National Registry of EMTs as kind of a, you know, just a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference was unbelievable mm-hmm. on where they actually got through all the way to treatments. And it's just, and it's not people's fault. It's just, that's not the world they live in. And they mm-hmm. just think, oh, I have this medical kit, but they don't know what's in it. They don't know how to use it if it is.
Well, it becomes a magic talisman where they're like, oh, I have a first aid kit. And you're like, well, show me your first aid kit. Even us, when we see people who are like, oh, I bought an old Army IFAC. And you're like, well, show me the Army IFAC. Let's say you got an MPA. That's super useful. Okay, what else have you got in here that you're not going to use? You know what I mean? I'm not saying don't carry an MPA. I'm just saying, like, if that's not one thing you improvise on the spot. Like, I've never done this before. I'm going to drop an MPA in somebody. Like, oh, look, you've got a needle that you've never practiced with. Oh, look, you've got these things that you never have ever, ever had any experience doing. And, you know,
this is the quick clot that melts your face.
Exactly. Oh, look, you've got the old quick clot powder, and you've got a Gen 2 freaking cat tourniquet. And, like, oh, look at all these things that are super old and outdated. You know, like, oh, but don't worry, I bought it from a surplus store for, you know, 15, 20 bucks, whatever, I'm set. And you're like,
oh, you're golden.
Yeah.
Golden. Well, and we see that a lot in the shooting community because you can't have a tactical gear setup without an IFAC.
No,
like,
know.
That's an impossibility. Yeah. Yeah. But what's in those IFACs?
Yeah.
Do people even know?
Yeah.
Do they still have the seals on them? Because I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
They have the little zip tie seal on the zippers to keep people from stealing crap out of them.
Or they open it up, and the cat's still in the wrapper, and all this stuff is still sealed up, and you're like, yeah, good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah, you're pretty much going to die.
So we've just got a few minutes here, and I want to talk again about how people can interact with Mobilize Rescue, because that's a really important thing. Obviously, the Instagram thing, all the videos are there. Definitely check that out. You guys are on Facebook.
Right.
Also is Mobilize Rescue Systems, I think.
Right? Mobilize That's good. You know, I'm not on Facebook myself, so
let me pop on.
Yeah, pop on there.
Confirm.
So we're on all the major social media: Twitter, Instagram, it Facebook.
Mobilize Rescue Systems on the Book of Faces.
Okay.
Instagram. I think it's just Mobilize Rescue. Yeah, either way, you start typing in Mobilize with a Z, you're gonna freaking.
You keep saying that. That's how Mobilize is
because
spelled.
Because people don't know how to freaking spell, dude. Mobilize. I want people to know how to spell it. Dude, I come from the world of people can't spell independence, all right?
Well, that's because that's a hard word to
it's
spell.
It's not a hard word to spell. It's just a whole shitload of E's.
Spell it without looking at anything. Spell
I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-C-E.
All right.
Yeah.
I still have to say it every time I'm typing it. I'm like, I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E.
I do. I say it.
Like,
I say Mobilize with a Z
because
I don't want people to misspell it because I know how people can't spell. All right.
Okay. All right. Like my wife.
So I'm not going to say it anymore, all right? So people can interact with you guys. Facebook, Instagram, how else?
Twitter?
Yep.
Okay.
You're Facebook, on the Twittersphere.
Instagram, Twitter, cool. And then Mobilize Rescue with a Z. Mobilize with a Z.
Thank you.
Rescue.com is our website.
Take that.
All right.
Mobilize Rescue
with a Z.
With a Z.
Right.
Z.
.com.
All right.
Right?
Okay. I got
correct.
It.
You just changed the name of the company to Mobilize Rescue with a Z.
right.
Now, you guys have three kits, and I want to talk about the cost of them because at first I think when people see the cost of these kits, they're going to kind of take a step back. I know I certainly did. When I first looked up, I was like, that's really expensive. And then you start thinking about what you're getting, right? So
that thing itself.
Mobilize kit, what do you guys actually call this?
So we call that kit right there our comprehensive kit. So that's the one that's in
the
hard
cool
case.
Name. You guys need to come up with some cool freaking names, dude.
Well,
that is a cool name. It's
the disruptively dynamic comprehensive kit.
So that's in a hard case. It's got a trickle charging port.
Okay.
The tablet's hard mounted in there. It can be bounced around a truck. You know,
they're about $2,200.
$2,250 is the MSRP on one kit.
And what's the soft case?
So the soft case, we call it the mobile kit.
Okay.
Which is in a backpack, as you can see.
And it's the same kit as the comprehensive
laid
hard
out,
case.
Laid out exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the hard case or the. There's not as much engineering in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's $1,750.
Okay.
And then we have the compact kit.
Which is basically an IFAC.
Which is basically an IFAC that comes with the app for mm-hmm. your phone, and that's $180. So, and really the secret sauce for this whole thing is the technology.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like a first responder in a box. So, and people do, you know, and we get actually, surprisingly, very little pushback on price.
Yeah.
And when you can explain it to people and show them what it is and say, I can put this on the wall in your building, and if you have 200 people in here and they all know what it is, you now have 200 immediate responders if they're willing to use it. Mm-hmm. And really, the value there is high, right? I mean, for $2,200, you can't train a couple hundred people and get them to remember it and ongoing training. And
or even better, where I see its big advantages, you know, well, as I mentioned, we train a bunch of corporate groups. Sometimes we do annual training. Sometimes it's every couple years. With some companies, maybe we get to do biannual, but it's not very common. So with the majority of companies, all right, they're going to spend quite a bit of money to train all their staff, but then to be able to do something in the interim, they got nothing.
Right.
They got to come up with their own scenarios. They got to buy practice supplies, all that kind of stuff. It's like this thing, even without the practice supplies, we could just run through the program.
Whiteboarded all day long.
Yeah, just once a week, even once a month at a safety meeting or something, bam, I can turn on the app and I can say, okay, scenario is Johnny's bleeding from his left arm and, you know, Mason is, you know, freaking can't breathe. All right, he's unconscious, can't breathe. All right, go. And someone can turn on the app and they can start walking through it just to get familiar with the app and familiar with the contents of the kit. And so now you have this residual training capability buying one piece of equipment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's a huge deal. And then the same thing with the IFAC, like 180 for an IFAC, and it's got typical IFAC supplies in it. You know, tourniquets and chest is not. It's not too high. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit higher than other kits, but it's right in the price line, I think. I think it's right there. But you're also getting the app. Which you can't just it's important to mention that you can't just download the app without owning a kit. And
well, you can download
it. Okay, you can't download it.
You just can't activate it, right? So, and we don't want, it's our app, right? But we don't want people running around with the app trying to hodgepodge things together.
Right, yeah.
So it's really the whole secret to this whole, the whole key to Mobilize is the technology. It's the just-in-time, real-time training. Hey, bystander, you can do something if you need to.
And everything's divided into areas. They're labeled very specifically. I mean, the engineering that went into this kit to help save somebody's life, specifically with the intent of saving somebody's life, is worth the cost. You know, for us we have access to, you know, all the supplies we could ever possibly dream of. We build kits all the time. You know, for us, we have boxes of medical supplies in our freaking studio right now. Like, it's easy for us to look at a kit like this and go like, just build my own. But I still don't have the technology. Yeah, I could build a kit like this for way less than $2,200. But not with this technology. Not with that iPad. Not with this hard case cover that's built in there. Not with that magnetic disconnect. Not with the charging port built in. I don't have the capability to put something like this together for that cost. I like this from my family perspective. One of my greatest fears is I can be the greatest medic in the world.
But you're not home today.
But I'm not home.
Yep.
Or you're the victim.
Or I'm the victim. Right. And I try to train my kids, and I work with my kids. But, man, they're home alone. Me and my wife are out on a date, and one of my kids starts having any kind of medical problems. What are they going to do? They're going to open up that kit. Are they going to remember everything Dad taught them?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if they can read, they can do this.
Right.
And that's worth $2,000. It's easily worth that cost. I could take this kit, leave it at my house, show it to my kids, and I can practice with my kids. And my kids are kids, so they're into technology, and they have tablets, and they know how all this stuff works. Boom, I can open it up. I can show my kids. We can run through it once a week. We could run through this, and it would be more fun to use something like this to help train my kids than it
and
would be.
And they're going to retain it better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Than it would be for me to just bring in a practice kit.
I would be willing to bet. So I have a 6-year-old son. He can read a little bit. I'm willing to bet I could take this to my house and I could run him through it 2 or 3 times and he would be able to use it from that point.
Dude, just the pictures
just
alone.
Just the pictures.
Yeah. Right. It's they've done the developers did an amazing job on this.
Oh yeah. So it's amazing.
So we got to get going. Unfortunately, I wish we could talk more about your guys' stuff because it's freaking awesome. Definitely make sure that. That you guys check out Mobilize Rescue on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Watch those videos.
It's with a Z, by the way.
With a Z, Mobilize with a Z. Thank you for that clarification, John. and make sure you watch the videos they're videos that I would happily use in our training classes. I mean, that's how well made they are, and that's I'm totally on board with what they're talking about. So really, really great programs, really great kits. Take a look at the kits. If you're, you know, corporations or large organizations, they're going to look at the price and be like, whatever, just cost of doing business to them. For an individual, man, $2,000 is a lot to throw down for a kit. Before you think that, look at the kit. I think what we're going to do as soon as we're done with the show is I'm going to make a quick video with Kirk. We're going to make a quick video with Kirk on this kit so we can post it up and people can see this thing a little bit better than just from the, you know, the Mobilize perspective, but see it from our perspective a little bit. But give this, take a look at this thing. You gotta see it in action before you think, oh, $2,000 is too much for a kit as an individual. You know, I mean, me, I think having this thing in my house, if something did happen, I know my kids would be a whole lot better with something like this than with my kit. And I hope they remember all the shit I told them while, you know, one of them was crying and the other one wanted to go back inside or whatever. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
It's like, yeah, this is so boring. Yeah. So, so awesome. Kirk, any parting words for our listeners, man?
No. I'd like to thank you for having me on. Yeah. Enjoying my first time in Phoenix here. The only thing we didn't touch on is any legal issues. This is basically covered just like a defibrillator under the Good Samaritan Act.
Okay.
You know, it falls back to the laws of intent. If you're not being compensated to do it, you don't have a duty to act.
Mm. And there's nothing invasive in here, so we don't have to worry about that.
And everything in there is what a reasonable person... It's all... You could get all our supplies if you wanted to put it together yourself, right? That's... The magic is the way it's laid out, the technology.
Mm.
So, legal-wise, it's just like a defibrillator. It's covered under the Good Samaritan Act. If you take somebody and beat them over the head with it, then you might be liable.
Right.
But if you, it is not going to tell you to do something that's going to make anything worse. It's only going to tell you to do something that can help.
Yeah.
So, and thanks again for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, you bet, man. Thank you for coming. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you, as in medical training. And I think you guys will definitely hear more about Mobilize Rescue from us in the future as we continue to work with these guys. I'm excited about the products. I think they're really freaking cool. I'm glad to finally get my hands on one. I've been looking at them for a few months now. You can bring us out to train with you. Contact us, info@trainingaz.com. Make sure you follow us and Mobilize Rescue on Facebook and Instagram.
With a Z.
On Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and, of course, Redwire Gear. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out their other shows. 25 shows on the network now.
What?
Yeah. Oh, Adam Bird,
we're still,
man,
the best.
He is pushing it.
You know how many of them I can name?
I can name one. I can name two. I can name three.
One.
Oh, I guess
the
two.
The Arms Room.
There's the Arms Room, and then there's
Adam's.
The business one.
No, there's Adam's.
Yeah, he does a business one.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Oh, and there's also a home buying one, which is actually really good.
There's sports with JD. JD
oh, yeah.
Sports. I just know that because I know JD.
Sports, yeah. There's a sports one.
By the way, if you want to listen to Adam's show, I was actually his guest. Last week, I think.
Oh.
So you can
listen. So just listen to that episode.
You can listen. It's the only episode we're listening to. You can actually listen to how I got started in business is what the show is. The Decision Hour. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
it's called The Decision Hour.
Two shows on the network.
Now we know two.
Yay, good for us.
So, yeah. I think we're the longest running show on the network right now.
Yeah.
And we have
other than like JD Sports might be.
I think we are the number one show on the network, of course.
Same. Of course.
We are the number one show, yeah.
All right, next week we're going to have our good friend Pat on the show.
Yeah.
He's going to be talking to us about proper vehicle maintenance, the number one things that people miss and screw up on. It's what the guy does all day, every day. He's like a master level 800 wizard mechanic.
And he's like essentially the Independence Training mechanic.
He is like our official mechanic.
He fixes all of our stuff.
he's an incredible, incredible mechanic, and he's got years and years of experience. And he's got all these crazy certifications. He's going to be with us on the show next week talking about emergency vehicle maintenance, the kind of stuff that you should be doing to mitigate risk, and also just kind of how to prepare for general emergency vehicles.
You.
Yeah, and he's going to be talking about that too. So until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.